Thanks for joining us for another great message from Influencers Church Australia. We hope it inspires you, encourages you, blesses you, and brings you joy. For more information about our church, go online to influencers.church. And now for our message.
When Shanz and I started dating, she was my first girlfriend, and I was about 23 years old, and Shanz was a fairly independent woman, you know, by that age. She wasn't living at home. She wasn't just waiting for Prince Charming to come on his noble steed and rescue her from her castle. She had several degrees by now. She was on the way to starting her own business. She had started a youth ministry and been a youth pastor and leader there. She served in so many areas in a church. Her and her friends had literally traveled Europe by themselves, backpacking all the way through Europe for 3 months, living in campgrounds and backpackers. I mean, she ran with the cartel for several months. She went out there, started a tattoo parlor. She lived out of home with her friends. I mean, she was like an independent woman. You know, she was like, hey, go in a house, Destiny's Child. Oh, my women, independent. You know, this is her. So it goes to our first date, and I'm just trying to do the trying to be a good guy. And I go to the car door, and I open the car door for her. And Shana's like, what are you doing? I said, I'm opening the door. Mum said this was the right thing to do. I knew I should have waited till 30, like Mum said. And open the door. She's like, what? Don't open my door. I'm like, what? I don't open your door. And she's like, I'm an independent woman. You don't need to open my door. And I'm like, all I'm thinking is, thank God, I don't have to pay for the meal either. So, can't have it both ways. Apparently you can. So I don't open the door from that point onwards. Well, years go by and we're married and we're out with some people and the husband goes and opens the door for the wife and, you know, I don't think anything of it, but we get in the car in different cars and, you know, when there's like the silent treatment and like, is something wrong? No, but it is. And like, what is that? Let's talk about it. It's nothing, but it's something. And there's that thing going on. And eventually I said, Shanz, no, what is that? And she's like, well, you never opened the door for me. And I'm like, well, what's going on? Like, what's it got to do? How, this doesn't make sense. And like, you told me when we were dating, never open the door for me. And she's like, I know, I meant it. But I want you to open the doors for me sometimes. And I'm like, how will I know? And she was like, you just need to know which day's which. The truth is, she wants to live in both and. Be independent and dependent. Life's filled with these confusing messages. Look after the body, but don't focus too much on your body. Eat healthy, but enjoy what's there. Push yourself, but don't push too hard. Be content in life, but be happy for more. I mean, we all say these confusing statements like, it's a definite maybe. I paid too much for it, but it's worth it. Kids, stand closer apart. We say it. If you fall off there and break your legs, don't come running to me. The things we say, I do it to my boys. I'm like, I get angry for a moment. I'm like, I brought you into this world. So come and give Dad a hug. And my kids are now confused. Do I go to give Dad a hug? Is this how he's going to take me out of my world? Squeeze me to death? Or does he love me? We're confusing both and. And the reality is when it comes to God, God is both and two. That we ask ourselves, is he a God of revelation or is he a God of mystery? He's both. Is the kingdom now or is the kingdom later? Because it seems like the Bible says it's both. Is the way narrow, but at sea we seem to be called deep and wide? It's confusing, but it's both. And there's these seemingly inconsistencies that we find in God if you think he's one-dimensional. And we end up arguing these incomplete dualities that are like, is the gospel about feeding the poor or proclaiming the word? Like we can split God to be one thing or the other, or one side or the other, depending on my limited thinking or my education or teaching or upbringing, rather than exploring and opening myself up to the God is maybe more just than the God I fit into the box and the perspective that I have. You see, just like a good football coach that teaches you, if I can kick well on my right foot, it's no excuse for not learning how to kick well on my left as well. God actually wants us to explore all of who He is. That God is more than one-dimensional, and God is more than what I was just taught in church, and God is more than just the perspective I see from my revelation. And this is what I want to open up over the next weeks, because if you can understand more of who God is, you can have a better understanding of what God has for your life and how to worship and communicate with Him. Because the reality is, most of us hope that faith will reduce our tensions, that faith should be easy, but the reality, faith isn't just simple. I mean, it was Jesus who told us to be anxious for nothing but always alert. That He told us that in order to be first, you had to be last. That the weak would be strong and the poor would be rich. That we had to lose our lives to find them. That maybe the Bible isn't about reducing all the tensions, but actually creating a healthy tension that shows God isn't as limited as you think He is, but God is in all of it. And it's in this both and with God that I want to look at today, the character of God and how we view God, because how we view God is often limited, but often also confusing by what we see in Scripture and in song. Are you doing okay? Does this make sense? I mean, one moment I see God wanting to be revered, that I should have a reverence for God. And it's here in this reverence for God, I should remember that He is big and powerful, that He is to be feared and He is magnificent. He is all creator and He is all wonderful. He is Lord. But then I suddenly step onto the other side of the equation, and God is a God that desires relationship, that He's a God that wants love. He's a God that's my dad and my father, my lover and my friend, that God wants relationship. He's both. And when I read Scripture, I see that He's both too. As I go to the book of Proverbs, I see on this side, Proverbs 9 verse 10, we'll put it on the screen. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But then I go over to Psalms 36 and it says, how precious is your unfailing love, O God. And I go back to Matthew and it says, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And then I come over to Exodus that says, you are my treasured possession. No one loves you like me. I go back to Job. Dominion and all belong to Him who established peace in the heights, in His heights. And then I go back to Psalm that says, I am your most beloved companion. And Scripture has this duality of showing God in both light. And I mean, I start to wonder, who is the God that I'm meant to serve? Because this happens in our songs too, that we have this multiple perspective of who God is. I mean, like this.
I exalt Thee.
So reverent.
I exalt Thee.
I mean, I'm on this side. He's so big and magnificent.
I exalt
I revere Him and look to His goodness
Thee.
And His wonder. Man, He is bigger than I am. What a God I serve. But then all of a sudden I hear a song like this.
I am a friend of God.
I like being a friend of God. I'm on this side.
I am a friend of God.
This is warm and this is loving. I'm over here. This is a relationship that we've got going on.
He calls me friend.
He calls me friend, but then suddenly I go into this.
Then sings my soul.
I know I'm reverent.
My
Savior. It's more anointed than these latest songs.
To thee.
It's slower. God is bigger.
How great
thou art, and how small I am. But then all of a sudden, I suddenly hear this song that connects with me again.
Oh, the overwhelming,
oh, thank Jesus.
Never ending,
that's just what I needed today.
Reckless love,
the reckless, overwhelming, unending, whatever all those big words are. I don't even know those words, but it sounds so good. It makes me feel so good. You know what I'm talking about? Which one's right and which one's wrong? And the reality is, if you generally talk to some people, they say, this is the more anointed song. And if you talk to people, they say, this is the more anointed song. And this is where the Holy Spirit moves, and this isn't where the Holy Spirit moves. But the reality is that I have to come to this perspective, which God is the God that I'm meant to serve? And if I discovered God on this side, did I get it wrong? If I discovered God on this side, did I get that wrong? And we all end up picking a side. Reality is, everyone stand to your feet for a moment. Stand to your feet. Let's choose. We all pick sides. If you had to choose between McDonald's and Hungry Jack's, if it's McDonald's, stay standing. If it's Hungry Jack's, sit down. Look over there. You're all wrong. Of course it's McDonald's. Oh, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. I mean, in November, Is it too early to put up your Christmas tree? If you think it's too early and you need to wait till December, sit down. Look at you Grinches, my goodness. The rest of you think it's fine. Okay, everyone stand to your feet. Because here's the reality, there are insignificant things, but we all pick a side. If you had to choose between Princess Kate and Meghan Markle, if you choose Princess Kate, sit down. Look how quick all of you left her. My goodness. Because she's on the TV show. Wow, sit down. The reality is in life, we all pick a side. I mean, when it comes to God, we all pick a side. The reality is, if for most people that maybe grew up in a more traditional or mainline style church, there's a chance that you view God from this perspective, that you see him from a reverent point of view. But if you grew up in a more contemporary Pentecostal style church, there's a higher chance that you see God from a more relational point of view. There's a high chance that if you've been following Jesus and in church for more than 30 years, the perspective you have of God is found on this side of the equation, right here in this reverent perspective. But at the same time, if you found God more recently or younger to faith, you've been taught a much more relational point of view. And the question is, which one is right and which one is wrong? But the reality is, it's both and. Both are right. See, God both expects reverence and he desires relationship with you. God requires worship and inspires intimacy. That he is almighty and he is all gentle. That he is both judge and he is both grace. He is both lion and he is lamb. He is beginning and he is end. And he is all powerful and he is all wonderful. And the truth is, if you want to fully grow in God and understand more of God and be able to access more of what God has for your life, you need to be able not to just stand on one side of the equation or the other, but the truth is that you need to be able to walk the line, foot in each camp, walking in both of all of who God is, because God is not one or the other, he is complete. See, as a father, I understand that my responsibility right now is to be a general for my sons. I've got to command my sons. And then in the teenage years, I'll become a coach to my sons in the hope that when they grow into maturity, I can be a friend with my sons. But while I'm doing this journey, I both have to walk the line of being both someone that is large and big and needs to be respected while walking in relationship with my boys. And I can't just be commander, but I also have to love and nurture and care for my boys, because if I don't, they won't get a full and complete picture of who they're meant to be as young men and men in the future, and they'll misunderstand God. The truth is, I'm not just lover and I'm not just commander. I actually have to be walking the line with both of these. And that unless I'm willing to grow in my perspective of God, and some of us might be here and saying, I know this, but I guarantee, just like you could choose between Macca's and Hungry Jack's, Meghan Markle and Princess Kate, you choose a side. And there's a way in which you view God, and that way is not wrong. But what I want to encourage you is, what if you were to start seeing God from the other perspective too and walk with a more balanced walk? Because the reality is, if I only see God through one perspective, it's like walking through life, blocking off part of one of my eyes, and I can see, but I can't see clearly. And just because I can see doesn't mean that more of the world can open up to me if I'm willing just to take off the other lens and grow into who God is. Are we doing okay? Because the truth is, this will affect your rest. If you stand on one side, you'll never rest, and you stand on the other, you might rest too much. This affects your prayer life, because here my prayer life can become long with big words that God may not always require and may be very religious and very repetitious, because that's how I get the attention of God. But it's here on this side, I'm not really talking to God. I'm just telling him what I'm going to do, and I'm hoping that he'll come along for the journey and go with me. Over here in obedience, I obey God perfectly, but out of fear. Over here, I'm kind of like, well, no one really tells me what to do. Yes and amen, right? God's going to come along with whatever. It's over here my representation of God can sometimes be too religious and hard, and it's here that sometimes people don't see anything different because it's all love, right? And it's all good and everyone's in, and they actually don't come to find God on either side because I'm living unbalanced. See, a walk with God is meant to have reverence. A walk with God, you got to understand, is meant to stand on this side over here. It's here that I revere God for who He is, and I honor the authority and have awe and fear because He is all powerful, all creator of the universe and everything in it. That He is judge and He is savior. He is almighty counselor, and He deserves more respect than I could ever give Him. See, it's here that I have understanding of the wonder and majesty of my incredible God who transcends time and space and sees where I began and knows where I am and knows how it's going to end. So why do I need to tell God what to do? He's bigger than the entire universe He created and therefore requires absolute obedience, honor, and adoration. He's the God that said, leave it all. He's the God that said, drop the nets. He's the God that said, I require all of it. He's the God that is not just Lord of church life. He's the God that is Lord of all. That means that He has all power, all authority, and all control in my life. Isn't that right? That's what it is to have reverence with God. Yet it's over here that I realize that God desperately still wants relationship and intimate relationship personally with just me. That while we were still sinners, He gave His life so we could be friends. That He is both brother and lover and father and Abba Father, Daddy Father, an intimate personal type of Father. That He is there to talk to me and guide me and protect me and provide for me and watch over me. That I matter more to Him than everything He created in the universe. He would give it all away just for an intimate personal relationship with Him. I can trust Him with my most personal and hurtful things that go on in my life. He is not a God that is just there. He is a God that sees me and walks with me and goes with me and provides for me and protects me. And the truth is that I have to be able to walk in both. See, if I walk just on this side, or I walk maybe just skewed a little bit, that I know relationship with God, but I walk more with reverence than I do in relationship. The truth is that I often would walk out my Christian life with an element of fear, that I'm a little bit scared. That if I do wrong, God will do something wrong by me. I mean, we'd never say it, but in the back of our minds, I'm trying to get everything wrong because I've got to keep God happy. Because if I can keep God happy, God will be good to me. And if I forget to pray, God's an angry God. And if I mess up, God's an angry God. He's always looking there, ready just to discipline me and have that rod right there to give me a little smack up the katush. This often leads to a life that's fearful or constantly falling short, because who can live up to perfection that's required on this side? So that often leads my walk with God to be a little bit religious, because I've got to do this to keep Him happy. I've got to pray to keep Him happy. I've got to be in church to keep Him happy, because God is controlling, right? And God is a little bit hard and maybe not totally safe. What this does, this doesn't allow us to live with the joy that God planned that we would live with in this life. That I actually live in that little bit of fear, and I live a little bit out of obligation, and that I live a little bit stifled, and I see God as a little bit judgmental. That I live a little bit legalistic. And what happens on this side is I sometimes make the door so small that no one else would want to follow me into the kingdom of God. What can happen though, if I live over on this side, even just a little bit too much, I mean, I revere God and I respect God, but I actually have picked my side, because we all pick our side that we see God naturally from. And even a little bit here too much, we think the answer is always yes. We forget that the scripture is He says yes, and we come into alignment and utter the amen. We just say the answer is yes and amen, because that feels so much better than listening to the fact that He says yes and I've got to step into line with Him. That we think, no, an exception's always going to be made for me because I'm a Christian, right? That we feel like God's going to fit into whatever is convenient with me. My kids have got sport, God will fit in with me. I'm busy at work, no, God will fit in with me. It's okay, He loves me, we're good. I love God, we're going to work this out, it's okay. God will ponder generally to my selfishness when I'm on this side. That the truth is that God is a lover, so God is a little bit weak. And the reality is over here, He's Lord of all. But here, I'm kind of Lord. And that God is my consultant or my advisor, helping me to live a better life. It's here I don't really need total accountability. I kind of feel like, don't tell me how to live my life. Don't tell me how to talk. Don't tell me how to raise my kids. Don't tell me to come to church. Don't tell me to lift my hands. I mean, everything here kind of is optional. Over here, lift your hands. I've lifted it. Thank you, worship pastor. Here, why are you telling me to lift my hands again? I got the shoulder thing. You know, no. And we live in both this side. Hey, everything is optional, and this familiarity and any boundaries actually feel like I'm being boxed in. And on this side, I want to widen the narrow road because everybody can get on this path. See, one is a metaphorical kind of me-centric view of God that's unrealistic. And the other side is this Old Testament wrath of God picture. And so many people feel that God went from Old Testament over to a relational God, did away with that, and now we're in the New Testament. But Jesus never came to do away with the old, but instead what he did is he brought in the second half and said, I will fulfill what I've done. I will fulfill the law. What does that mean? It means I will complete it and I will bring in the other facet to me that people haven't realized so that they could go on a walk. It was never that you just picked a side, or even though you grew up here having an incredibly beautiful reverence with God, it wasn't that you stayed there or that you have intimate personal relationship, which is beautiful and right. God's plan was that you would have a feet firmly planted in who he is. He is both deserving of all reverence and inspiring of relationship. And the plan was that you would be able to walk the line step by step with God as you progress into your relationship with him. Scripture shows both of them. Are we doing okay? Does this make sense? I mean, Romans chapter 2, it shows this. God's kindness, this is where it starts, firstly. God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance. That I would revere God enough and love him enough, because of his love, I'm willing, what does repentance mean? To turn my life around. That I'm no longer Lord, but he is Lord. That I don't just say sorry, but I change who I am because he is worthy of obedience. But scripture also shows the other side. If I put the next scripture on the screen, it shows us, put the next scripture on the screen. There you go. It says, friendship. It looks like it's first, but friendship is the result of the condition. It says, friendship with God is reserved for those who have reverence with him. So when I have reverence for God, God brings me into relationship with God. And it's there all of God's promises are revealed to my life. You see, what is God saying in this? He's showing however you found him, you found him. And all that matters is that you found him. It didn't matter if you found him in the club or you found him in church. It doesn't matter if you found him standing up or sit on your knees. It doesn't matter if you found him in your best place or you found him in your worst place. As long as you came to a revelation that Jesus is Lord and I need him to lead my life. But if you found him in a place of reverence and awe, he's saying, okay, now complete the picture, but let me be an intimate, loving father and friend that can walk with you. And if he's saying, if you found him in your most broken point where you needed a guide and a friend and a savior, it's good, but now step back and stand in awe and revere me, because I have more for you and I am worthy of all reverence and I want relationship. Maybe there's more than what we know. Just a challenge today that you would go away and maybe say, God, show me the other sides to you I've never seen. Jesus was trying to do this in scripture. We see this in his very first miracle in Cana when he went to the wedding. And it's there, what does Jesus do in his first miracle? He turns water into wine. Not still water. Well, this will just get loose. He goes and does his first miracle, and I'm like, even doing that, some of us suddenly are skin crawl, because like he mentioned wine in church. Me and Pastor Greg were talking about this week, going, why did Jesus do such a controversial miracle at the very beginning? Why couldn't he do the fish and the bread and the multiplication? They're going everywhere. Like, I mean, why couldn't he do that miracle first? Why did he have to do a miracle with wine? I mean, do you know how many discussions I've had with people in church? Like saying, does this mean I can just go and drink gallons of wine? I mean, I've had people tell me it was more like cordial or a dark Ribena in those days. No, it wasn't. It was wine. And Jesus, why don't you make it easier for me as a pastor in this discussion? Why wine? Well, they were so entrenched in law that the very first miracle Jesus did, he had to show them that actually heaven is a celebration. They had to show them of what they thought was good and all they knew was law. He was saying, my relationship with me, heaven is actually much more like a party than it is a church service. And he was making a point to them that there actually is better at the end. What did they say? We thought what we drank first was best. They knew reverence, but now Jesus is saying, actually, I don't come to do away with that, but I bring completion. What you're going to drink next is even better. A complete celebration, intimate. A personal relationship with me where you can walk both sides of the line. But then we go to another miracle where it's now on the other side and we see a huge storm come up while the disciples are on a lake and they're used to storms. They're fishermen. They're on this lake all the time. But this must have been a beauty. And the storm comes up and the wind and the waves are overwhelming and they think they're going to die and their friend Jesus is asleep in the boat and he's asleep in there and they go in and they wake him up and they say, Jesus, why are you asleep? Don't you care for us? Do you just not care if we die? Is that the person you are? Would you wake up and do something about this? And we go to the book of Mark where it says this. He got up, he rebuked the wind and the waves, and he said, quiet, be still. And the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why were you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? And they were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. A storm comes up and a hurricane is going and the wind is blowing and the waves are large and Jesus speaks to the hurricane like it was a disobedient dog that was a mistake last Christmas and he says to that waves and that wind and that hurricane, shush, be quiet. And just like a little child, the hurricane listens to his voice and it says it went completely calm. When you look in the understanding of that word completely calm, it means dead calm. And that means that even though the wind stopped, it wasn't just the wind stopped, but could you imagine the waves went like glass? It's here that the disciples who were talking to Jesus before, they were afraid of the storm, but put it back on the screen. What does it say in that last screen? It says, now they were terrified. They were afraid of the storm, but when Jesus, doesn't matter, when Jesus says about the wind and the waves, be still and it goes calm, all of a sudden they are terrified. Why? Because as unmanageable as the storm is, Jesus is even more unmanageable. I mean, if the storm had immense power, Jesus has infinitely more power. And if they can't control their friend, how can they ever control the God that created the wind and the waves, that it obeys him like a little dog or like a little child? What was Jesus doing? He was saying, you guys have got pretty intimate with me. You guys have got pretty close to me. I mean, some of them were literally his brothers. So not only were they friends, they were his brothers, and they spoke to him like a friend. Don't you care that we might die? So he says, right, you knew me on this side here, on the relational side of life, but I'm going to do something that shifts you into a place of terror, that you would not just be scared of me, but you would have a righteous fear that recognizes I created all of this and I create you and I am worthy of your awe. What is Jesus saying through these two miracles and the keys and come? Jesus is saying, whatever way you found me and whatever way you view me, whether you see me through relationship and I'm your personal God, or whether I'm Almighty Savior, the Creator of heaven and earth, I'm both. And I want you to walk this line and stand right here in the middle where you can grow into the next step of understanding me. See, depending on where you stand will determine if you have a full picture of God or not. And I can genuinely tell you that my while I teach a lot, Pentecostal contemporary church, we teach a lot from this point of view. I grew up in this point of view. And I grew up fearful if I don't pray today, God's disappointed with me. And if I don't get it all right, God's angry with me. And I know He's not, because I know He's loving and He's protective. But if I'm being honest and I'm teaching this today, if I had a skewer, I'd be more on this side. I would stand here. But I have to get to this place that if it doesn't all work, He's good. And if it doesn't work out, He's good. And if He doesn't answer today, He's good. And if I get it wrong, He's good. And even though I try to manage this and do this and I try to be the best I can, I've got to realize, compared to Him, actually I'm nothing. So I need a friend that can guide me and protect me. But maybe you started over here and it's time to stop realizing God's not just there to answer your every whim and every request. But first, He wants you to see as all-powerful, almighty, authoritative God that can see where you are, but more importantly, He can see where you'll be, and He'll lead you step by step if you can do this balance. Because if I don't live this life balanced, I miss the mark. And if I don't live this side balanced, I miss the mark. It's only here that as I walk both in reverence and relationship with Him, a God that's both and all and everything complete and fulfilling, that I can be all that I am and He can be all that He is, so that as I walk with Him, He is in the center of my life and I'm the center of Him, and it's there I have balance and my soul is well. See, this is the most important thing about this story, is that this is the difference between Jesus and the storm. Because they both were terrified of both. Is that the storm doesn't love you. And this is the difference with Jesus. He is all powerful, all creative. Whether you believe it or not, He made you. This wasn't a result of atoms just colliding and boom, you're here and you turned up, and aren't we so lucky? No, there is an all-creative, all-powerful, all-wonderful God that has all power to take us out or lift us up. But this is what has to be understood, that the storm loves you. That Jesus, sorry, the storm doesn't love you, but Jesus loves you. And that Jesus walks with you. And Jesus cares for you. And that, if I understand that, I can be okay with the fact that He's not under my control. That He will let things happen that are out of my control. And He will let things happen that I don't understand. But if I trust His sovereignty, I don't need to have clarity, because God is good. All I need to be clear on is that God is good. That His power is limitless, but so is His wisdom and love. And if His disciples could understand that He was both powerful and loving, there was no need to have terror, but instead a righteous fear and trust that says, God is good and He has good for me. That maybe God is bigger than you think, and maybe it's time to have another look. That He is both day and night and winter and summer. That He's the calm and He's the storm. That He's yes and He's no. That He's to be feared and He's to be obeyed, and He is to be loved and He is to be trusted. He'll meet you wherever you are.
We hope that this message has blessed you. For more information about Influencers Church, go to influencers.church.